Hello world, this is Al Rod.
And it's Lady Rain.
And welcome to the Rod and Rain Show. Today, we are finally going to rank all of the movies in Rusty Cundiff's and Darren Scott's horror anthologies. Tales from the Hood, Tales from the Hood 2, Tales from the Hood 3, and American Nightmares. So, yeah, just based on what has been said leading up to this, I kind of have an idea in how you're going to land with this. I'm pretty confident in assuming what your list is. But, I don't know, you still could throw a curveball or two my way. So
could.
I doubt it, but
all right,
the potential is there.
So, it's my turn.
Yeah.
To start us off. Four movies to rank.
Mm-hmm.
So we're starting with my number four, which is Tales from the Hood 3.
No! What?
Yes.
Okay, I'm legit surprised. I'm surprised.
Tales from the Hood 3 is in my number four spot. I ranked these by, if we wanted to turn on one of the movies and was like, hey, you want to watch a Rusty horror anthology, which one would I just never name to watch? And I would not like just voluntarily choose to put on Tales from the Hood 3.
Wow.
I would volunteer 2 before 3 for the entertainment value.
Damn.
So Tales from the Hood 3 is in the bottom because it is not one that I would just put on for enjoyment or entertainment. It's more dry than not. So keeping my engagement is just, it doesn't do that for me. Just thinking of the movie as a whole, the wraparound, the mouths of babes and demons, boring, flat, dry. Ruby Gates, boring, flat, dry. Dialogue, whack. Long, slow. Bunker, I don't mind, kind of drags a little in the middle when he's just ranting a little bit too long.
Yeah.
So it starts to feel kind of dry and just still. Operatic, serviceable, but I mean, it's not enough to make me turn on the whole movie. Be like, man, I can't wait to get to that tale, you know? And then Dope Kicks is like, you know, I love that tale, but it's the last one. So I got to get through the rest of the damn tales to get to it. And so that's not enough for me. Like, it does not convince me to like, please turn me on, watch me be entertained, stay awake and enjoy me. Like, it's not going to do that for me ever. It's never going to be the first choice for me if we're trying to do our horror. Like, every October we like to watch, you know, scary horror movies, and we always visit Tales from the Hood anthologies, whatever it is. especially now that more than just the first one exists. And this is one that I don't have to watch.
Damn. I'm truly surprised by that. But I hear you on everything you just said, because despite the fact that I thought Tales from the Hood 3 was the one that started to kind of edge a little closer to, you know, the, not quality wise, I don't think it was anywhere near 1, but I think tonally it was edging closer to that tone a little bit, just looking at the collective of stories. But I totally see what you're saying, because like our most recent rewatch, we were a little more favorable towards it, but how many times have we watched it even before then? And we would consistently say, this is the boring Tales from the...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the boring. You put it on And it's almost guaranteed, like, if you're putting it on and it's, like, nighttime because you like to watch scary movies and it's dark, it's, like, guaranteed that you're falling asleep.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't imagine having to have watched that in, like, a movie theater. I know it wasn't a theatrical release, but if it was, I would have had a tough time staying awake watching it in a damn movie theater.
I feel you.
And then on top of that, it's the least Tales from the Hood-ish. As far as, like, hood tales.
Three?
That's, yeah.
Really?
That's how I feel. Like, we had Dope Kicks. Right. That's your hood-ish. Ruby Gates, kinda, but it was just so damn dry. Like, barely, to me, I guess. Like, yeah, it's a building you're trying to...
Ruby Gates, I'd say definitely.
Yeah, but I guess because I hate the story so much. Mm-hmm. It's... Yeah, no, it was weak on just so many, in so many ways. I can't, I put it at the bottom. Like, just thinking about it right now, it makes me sleepy. Like, it's just, yeah. It's so dry. Like, there's nothing redeeming in there where I'm like, oh yeah, I feel like I could watch that, right? No. Like, as much as we have bashed Tales from the Hood 2, we still put it on because we know we're at least going to be entertained. We're going to laugh. There are some quotables. Like, it's still a good time, so to speak. But it's not a good movie.
What are we laughing at, though?
Okay.
So we could just have a back and forth, because Tales from the Hood 2, I ranked at the bottom, but I cannot, I don't have a worthy rebuttal for anything you said about Tales from the Hood 3. It is boring. It's dry. Tales from the Hood 2, I kind of look at in the same vein as something like Mortal Kombat Annihilation, where it's like, I'm putting that on strictly because it is because silly, it's so ass bad, it's good shit, but yet entertaining it's, shit.
Yes. It is. Yes, like, you're going to stay awake, you're going to be engaged because you know you're at least going to laugh. You're going to, like the editing's laughable, the quality's laughable, the dialogue is laughable, but it's laughable. Yeah. So you're getting a reaction out of me. I am entertained. I can endure you as a movie. You still had some, I mean, only the medium, I guess, is really your hood tie in that one. But Good Golly was still along the lines of something that the first Tales of the Hood would have done.
Yeah.
So that, I think, is okay.
I mean, there's a cameo appearance from one of the dolls.
Exactly. So I think that one's still okay. And then Medium gives you a little bit of a hood tie. And then the Sacrifice tried to do something that the first one would have done to, you know, do your historical horror social commentary. So, I mean, it had pieces there. It's a bad movie, but I can manage it. So, I can manage it, and I can see more of, like, how they were trying to replicate some commentary that they did in the first one. They just chose very bad stories to do it.
So, here's my biggest issue with Tales from the Hood 2, is that when I analyze it in the context of it being a sequel to Tales from the Hood, when you look at Tales from the Hood, and Rusty's big thing was seeing someone afflicted in the first half of the tale, and then some supernatural element intervening to, like I said, bend the situation towards a more just outcome for the afflicted party. And we also said the horror, the real horror, was in the real shit that people were facing in those respective stories. So Martin Morehouse getting brutally beaten.
Mm-hmm.
The monster that Walter was talking about for the first half of the tale actually being a real guy, mm-hmm. his stepfather, and it's him that's beating him. it's real shit that's happening to people, and in a sense that helps the stories be somewhat grounded in a way, because it's just you have a real reaction to seeing people be hurt and brutalized in ways that people are hurt and brutalized in the real world all the time. Mm-hmm. And Tales from the Hood 2, there you don't get that sense until maybe the Emmett Till story.
Right.
Everything that's happening is just like when the golly comes to life and starts whipping Audrey's brother. I mean, I'm just so taken out of the realm of like this this being a real issue.
Right.
And it's just, or what was the story? The Medium. You know, you have those three dudes that end up killing that man that they were interrogating. But, I mean, they're just so goofy. Right. I can't take that seriously.
Yeah, because it's like, when I think of the first Tales from the Hood, it's like we had three guys who had some silly moments to them, but yeah, they weren't like caricatures.
Right.
Like, they weren't just all comedy, you know? And they were done in like believable ways. Like, they reacted the way that a trio from that environment would react in a mortuary.
Yeah.
You know, whereas these three in the Medium, like, just nobody's like, yeah, that.
And then you see that story with Kahad, and I do not remember his friend's name. I just
want to call him Chan, but it probably wasn't.
Yeah, he gives me Bieber vibes. So Kahad and Bieber. I mean, you can't take that. Like, Tales from the Hood 2 doesn't allow me to take anything serious at all. And that really got in the way of my emotional investment. I just felt like they were going for this goofy tone in all of the stories except The Sacrifice. And it was just, I felt like it almost spit in the face of Tales from the Hood, because I was a little miffed at the fact that they would follow up Tales from the Hood with something just so whimsical, and especially considering the climate we're living in, and this is what you choose to theme your stories around. This is ridiculous. I mean, like, there are just so many other dire things they could have addressed, and I felt like they picked some of the most trivial cookie cutter shit they could have. And yeah, that just bothered me. I just feel like Tales from the Hood 2 didn't even try to take itself too serious with it until that one story, and I felt like it was just so tonally South Park and not tonally Tales from the Hood. It felt like one of the weaker South Park episodes.
See, and I can agree with everything that you've said, but at least I stayed awake to watch it.
I hear you, man. Like, Tales from the Hood 3,
it's just hard for shit to resonate with you when you're so damn bored.
I can't disagree with
that. That's why I had to put it at the bottom, because I can't just voluntarily be like, hey, put on Tales from the Hood 3. I feel like watching a scary movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know I'm going to sit there, be bored, fall asleep, and nothing's really going to grab me. The messages are like there, but it's kind of weak, but it's because it's dry. And I can't. That's not enough. So, I mean, I agree with everything you said. And I mean, 2 could have been at the bottom for me too, but I had to give 2 just that one extra point, because at least it would be engaging.
I hear you. Tell
like,
3 is
there's
boring.
Entertainment value to it of like, at least I know I'm going to laugh. I can, you know, I can see what the message would have been if they took it a little more seriously, but at least I can get some quotables and have fun with it at least.
Yeah, I will concede that Tales from the Hood 2 definitely feels more lively. And I think you can just compare the wraparound stories to make that point, because despite how silly the Robo-Patriot wraparound is, at least the banter between Mr. Sims and Dumas Beach is something to, to like keep you, like all the stuff with Tony Todd and the girl, I'm just like,
it's so boring.
I'm not enjoying that at all.
And I really hated just hearing the word things. The bad things coming, the bad I was just like, what? You couldn't think of just anything else to call it other than like the bad things are gonna get us?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. No, it was just a big eye roll to me, is what Tales from the Hood 3 was.
Same, but...
But the goofiness of 2 is what you put, is what had you put it at 4.
Yeah, it was just so... It felt annoyingly casual. When I look at Tales from the Hood, I see purpose and real intent in choosing those specific stories. And looking at Tales from the Hood 2, I'm like, you guys just... It feels like y'all just drew topics out of a hat to make that movie. And it just...
It's like they had a basket of horror elements, a basket of, like, social issues, and they just had people drawing out of them. All right, we got vampires... And a date rape. All right, there we go.
Right.
That's the story. All right, okay, we got, I don't even know what the medium is. We got psychics and hood niggas. Like, yeah. I don't even know what the commentary was for that one, but.
I remember one of our earliest conversations when we were comparing Tales from the Hood and Tales from the Hood 2. Well, I think we had talked about all three. And I was just saying that you look at those stories and Tales from the Hood, and the first story, it's centered around police brutality. That is a major issue within the community.
Right.
And child abuse. Huge.
Yes.
Like, it's very important. These are issues that if they need to be confronted now. They should have been confronted then. They should have been confronted a long time ago.
And like you said, they were also issues that were like becoming the makings of our Crazy K.
Of our Crazy K. And Crazy K, I mean, gang violence. That is the epitome of what you don't want in your society. You don't want any of this in your society.
Right.
And... You fast forward to Tales from the Hood 2, and it's like,
I just don't want a Kahad in my society.
Bieber and Kahad?
Like, that's the horror for me. Like, don't bring those home, please.
But I'm like, compared to the other shit in Tales from the Hood, dude, I don't care. I mean, I'm just saying, it's like, as issues, like,
I agree. Like, now, is date rape an issue? Yes.
Date rape is an issue.
But
I'm
when
not
you
saying...
put it in that story with vampires and the dudes are just corny and like,
you know what? Yeah.
You bury it in something that feels very trivial. You make it feel trivial when
that's
you
what
put it in
that's
a
what it,
like
that's
that.
What it is, because you're right. Date rape is a very serious issue. And we are just on the cusp of shedding a light on the way just women have been dogged,
right,
in the industry and just in general.
I feel like they trivialize,
especially the entertainment industry. And yeah, you're right, they have trivialized it.
And
so
that's the
like,
other piece
in the face of Me Too, that's the best you got.
Well, and I was gonna say, they even tried to like pull in the entertainment industry piece because they were acting like they were casting agents.
That's right. Yep.
So it's like you were trying to attack, like, yes, the entertainment industry, this is like running rampant. Mm-hmm. But you made it feel so trivial by like making these dudes so cringy. Like, they were this corny, lame,
and then
unrealistic.
And then you kind of do the story at the service, because the real horror would be, you know, just seeing them do this to these women.
Right.
Is terrible. But when they turn out to be vampires, it just
canceled it out almost.
It did.
Man, y'all, they weren't even really in danger because they're vampires. So it's like, I hear you. I mean, either of those movies could have been
it. Because it didn't make you feel, because
right.
If they were approaching that story with the Tales from the Hood mentality, Bieber and Kahad would have actually done, they would have eventually done something very horrific to those women, and then we would have seen but it's like they I'm not goofy. Saying I want to
no I don't, I, know I don't exactly have I don't you have mean. An you don't urge to see them like I don't, fulfill the crime
like I, don't, like, I but, don't have a lust for seeing rape scenes
exactly but it's movies. Like you didn't make them feel worthy of being scared of, first of all.
There it is. Yep.
Like, the what they were attempting to do to these chicks should have been the horror. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you introduce it as an idea, you have them looking through the camera, and the chicks don't cast a reflection or mm-hmm. their image. And so you immediately cancel out whatever horror you were about to build up to.
Yeah.
And then vampires. And so
I wasn't feeling it.
At all. Yeah, I have Tales from the Hood 2 at number 3, but they were neck and neck, but I still put it above 3 because of the entertainment value. But yeah, it did a terrible job. It was just as bad as far as getting points across, and everything was just overly goofy. I feel like every issue they wanted to address was just trivialized in that one.
That's my biggest gripe. That's my sole gripe.
But I'd still put it on before Tales from the Hood 3. So that's why I put it in slot number 3.
I totally see what you're saying.
I would still be like, okay, let's watch Tales from the Hood 2 after we watch Tales from the Hood 1. I'm not going to put it on in like by itself. Like, if I put it on, it's because we watched 1. And I'm like, okay, we can watch 2. But then I'd stop there or go to American Nightmares. I wouldn't be like, all right, let's go ahead and watch 3 as well. Like, no. I don't have any. I only watched it again this time because we were going to talk about them. Because I was like, I don't really need to rewatch it. But because we were talking about it, I wanted to make sure I at least had my details and my points down. But I don't need to watch it again after we've had these conversations.
What, 3?
3.
Yeah.
Tales from the Hood 2, I kind of don't feel like I need to watch it again. But if we were going to watch these again, I'd include it.
Okay. Yeah, Tales from the Hood 3, I put at number 3 mainly because you're right in that it is boring. It is kind of dry. Even with the stories that I could get a little more out of, I don't think they're as nearly as engaging as I was about to say the stories that work in Tales from the Hood 2, but I'm just like, every story in Tales from the Hood 2 has something wrong with it.
Oh yes.
And Tales from the Hood 3, I think that's kind of the case as well, but there was one story that I didn't take issue with, which was Kicks?
Dope Kicks.
Dope Kicks, upon reevaluation, I said this one was okay. And
I think I did too.
I think that's what contributed to it winning out over Tales from the Hood 2, honestly, because all of the other stories, I like the bunker conceptually, but I just think it goes on.
Mm-hmm.
It starts dragging a little too long. I think operatic, even though even though I was into the characters, I mean, I think it was the only story that really weaved in a little more character work than the others. So,
which one is that?
Operatic.
Oh.
Ruby Gates tried to do some character work, but it just felt disingenuous. Oh my God. I felt emotionally manipulated to care about
characters. And then the performances were so weak.
Yeah, I'm strictly talking about the family. I thought the other guy was okay. But,
he was all right. But
yeah, I mean...
Serviceable.
So, yeah, I mean, I felt like Operatic just had some character work going, but the story was just a little derivative. So, yeah, I mean, I think that one story, Dope Kicks, kind of helps boost Tales from the Hood 3 up a little bit. But the wraparound is wholly bad. And I feel like the wraparound, not saying it makes or breaks an anthology, but the way the wraparound structures everything, I mean, there has mm-hmm. to...
Gotta be connection.
You have to see connection mm-hmm. with everything else. And the wraparound of Tales from the Hood 3, I mean, it's literally just an excuse to... It's not even an excuse. They don't even have an excuse baked into it. I mean, it's the girl just literally, hey, we stopped here. Want me to tell you a story? It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. It's like, hey, can we take a break from walking for a second? Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Tell you a scary story. And right now you're supposed to believe I'm just a 6-year-old girl, so why the hell am I able to tell these stories?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and then, the bunker was supposed to just come from a little kid, because... anyway, I mean, of course, she's not a little kid, but we don't know that.
Yeah.
And then, he doesn't know that.
And then the twist with her, it was okay. I
didn't mind the twist.
It was okay. I mean, I genuinely didn't see it coming my first time watching it.
Yeah, I didn't mind the twist compared to Tales from the Hood 2, where it was just clear that dumbass bitch was going to be the outcome, and he was the one going to hell. We just didn't know, like, necessarily how, per se. But we knew he was going to be the one going to hell in that wraparound.
I didn't know how Tales from the Hood 2 was going to end, because...
Well, we knew Mr. Sims was there as the devil.
Yeah,
because he got redder as it went on.
But I couldn't have imagined that they were really going to do the same ending again. I didn't think they were going to rehash that.
See, so I did, because
I
they had
think, I honestly didn't
the
think
devil
they
showing up again. I'm like, if the devil's here, someone's going to hell.
I had no idea they were going to do that. So, yeah, maybe that was just you, but...
Well, that's the only common thing, is like there's a devil and somebody's going to hell. And
we,
you wrap around.
We didn't know that coming off.
Coming
all,
the
there
first
was only
view,
one Tales
the first
from the
view.
Hood.
Yeah,
so,
we
mean,
didn't.
Just...
But I did, because the nigga was getting redder as the damn Tales was going on.
Okay. You saw that your first time watching it, though?
That was
you like, didn't... I clearly knew he was the devil. I didn't know that.
You didn't know.
I didn't know exactly how it was going to end. I mean,
I didn't know.
Just,
I didn't know.
I really didn't think they were
going to
rehash
I'm saying.
The same ending.
I knew that he was the devil. I knew dumbass bitch was the target. Because there wasn't really, those were the two main characters in the wraparound. Like, I don't think it was going to be like the other staffers there in the tent. Those are the only other people in the wraparound. I'm like,
I didn't,
why would any of
when,
them be
when
the
I saw the focal point of the wraparound was this Robo Patriot thing, I had no idea where any of it was going. I honestly didn't think it was just going to boil down to, oh, Dumas Beach is really in hell and we're really going to rehash the same ending from the
right.
First
for
movie.
Me, it was like...
Like, I'm like, how does Robo
for me,
Patriot get worked
into
this?
I had two of the pieces, but I didn't know the closure of, like, what is the hell? Like, yeah. I knew...
Like, they were in hell the whole time, but it's like Robo Patriot had just
right, that's
him.
The piece I didn't
so
catch.
It hit, I'm like, what
that's
is
the piece
this?
I didn't see coming. Like, oh, this is hell?
Yeah.
Like, that I didn't get. I just knew that when we saw, what first, the sign, do my speech, we knew what that was going to be the reveal of. But then when we found out it was a person, I was like, okay, he's the bad guy, or the target. Like, I felt that was just clear to me. Like, especially when he starts talking, it's like, all right, he's going to be like, he's a target in some way.
Yeah.
And Keith David is a devil. Those are the pieces I had. I didn't have, like, okay, what is the devil doing with this guy? How's the robot coming into play with the devil and this guy? Like, all those pieces I didn't see coming.
Yeah.
But I did see something bad was happening to dumbass bitch. They was going to call him dumbass bitch. I knew that was happening. Yeah, and Keith David was the devil for some reason. But how it was all going to go together, no. Didn't see that coming the first time. So that's my 3 and 4.
Yeah. Tales from the Hood 3 just narrowly beat it out because, honestly, it was that last
The dope tale. Kicks. Dope the kicks dope kicks is tale. What gave you the leg up.
Yeah, because and I felt...
entertainment is why I gave 2 the leg up.
Yeah. Your reasoning for having Tales from the Hood 3 at the bottom is reasoning that sticks. I honestly can't argue. Tales from the Hood 3 is boring as fuck.
Yeah.
It is seriously boring.
It is.
Just going from story to story, like the wraparound is the least engaging wraparound out of all of them.
And it feels so cold too. Like the color palette of 3 doesn't help. I don't want it to be as bright as 2, but it just felt so blue and gray that I'm already bored, you're already dry, and then you give me this cold color palette, and I'm like, good Lord, like, I cannot endure.
They filmed Tales from the Hood 3 in Canada, and I think in Ruby Gates, I feel the Canada a lot. And that's another thing that really doesn't... I don't think it helps.
It did like, not.
Something about...
Like, the bunker felt cold. That was like blues and grays, too.
Uh-huh.
It did not help keep me engaged when you're putting it in a palette that is made to make you feel sleepy.
Yeah. It did the opposite of what Tales from the Hood 2 did. Because Tales from the Hood 2 was vibrant, bright and really goofy.
It was
looking.
Like almost overexposure.
And Tales from the Hood 2 just was gloom. Like
3.
Tales from the 3 just had this dreary,
it was very gloomy. Yes. Even the dope kicks, like he's got on these gold ass shoes, mm-hmm. but I still feel like I'm in this cold world.
Yeah.
Operatic felt dark. It was just all dark and cold.
Yeah.
Like they're walking through the woods and there's no green. It was just blue. It was just blue and gray.
I feel like operatic is kind of the exception, though.
It had reds.
Yeah.
It had reds, but it was still pretty flat.
It didn't feel as cold as the other ones.
It felt dark to me versus cold, though.
Yeah. And I actually kind of like, I liked operatic visually. I think it was the most visually interesting.
In 3? It was the most visual. Oh, okay. I can give you that for like in that movie. Yes.
Yeah. No, in 3. No, yes. No, fuck no.
Yes,
stop.
Yes, okay.
No, in 3. Although Dope Kicks had some moments at the very...
I think Dope Kicks might win out. For
yeah,
me,
at the end, like when the demon actually exposes itself and tries to get at him, and then he gets pulled into that place where all the people in red are looking. I thought that was a very cool image.
Yeah.
Visually, I felt like towards the end, it was kind of getting a little more interesting and was working its way back to that level of visual interest that the first one had, even though maybe the content itself wasn't fully living up to it. So, that's what has 3, in my opinion. Worthy of being just a step ahead of Tales from the Hood 2.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right, so we want to just go ahead and both share what our number two is, because I feel like these last two are the obvious ones. Oh,
fuck yeah. American Nightmare is his number two.
American Nightmare is his number two. Do you have any specific reasoning?
For having it below one, or for putting it above the other two?
For having it, like, Tales from the Hood 1 is just, it's got to be number
one. Yeah, it's like, there's no...
That's no argument. So everything has to be under that. But how, you know, do you have justification for how American Nightmare is 1 out over 2 and 3?
American Nightmares, for one, doesn't have to be beholden to
the hood,
the structure that was dictated by mm-hmm. Tales from the Hood.
Right.
So, already, it gets to play in a bigger sandbox, I feel like. So, I feel like that opens up your range of topics a little bit. That you can pull in
a few more issues, a few more settings.
And I feel like
You broadened it to, like, the nightmares of America, not just the nightmares of the hood.
Right. And I feel like American Nightmares appropriately takes advantage of that. Yeah. And honestly, out of all 8 stories, there's only one that I think could be tossed away. But
I want to keep it because it's entertaining. Yes, agree.
Yeah, it's the
Mates.
The
Shannon. Mates. Sad to say, like, I feel like Mates would have fit in Tales from the Hood too, because it felt quality wise like the medium to me.
It would have.
Like the performances and just the dialogue, the way they wrote it,
mm-hmm.
just seemed along the lines of how they. The effort they put in the medium,
yeah,
and Tales from the Hood too. So I feel like those could have been like sister stories,
but
I don't want to throw it out because Reggie is hilarious.
Yeah, and the thing that's so interesting is, I was talking about just the whimsical nature of Tales from the Hood too, and how that was a point of contention for me. But my favorite story in American Nightmares is a story that is very blatantly satirical, and it has a tone that is definitely going for something more comedic.
Right.
And it's my favorite one because of just, I mean, it's supposed to be absurdist. It's just an absurd comedic story that highlights the absurdity of racism in a very simplistic way. And I just loved it. I thought it was clever.
It was extremely clever.
I just loved it on that purely cerebral level. And I complained about the lack of moments that had real gravity in Tales from the Hood 2. But American Nightmares, they have stories like, what was the name of this story?
Which one?
The one, Blacks.
White Flight?
Oh, White Flight. Why was I blanking on it?
Yeah. No Blacks allowed.
Ever.
Like, that could have been the line.
Yeah. I just felt like it was one word. I couldn't get it out there.
Yeah, but, White Flight.
Yeah, White Flight. White Flight does have brief moments of gravity, but for the most part, it's like, it's a black comedy. It's like dark humor that, in spots, especially when Rusty's banging
the
that
baby in the sack. In the sack. Dark.
Yeah.
Sure.
Very dark. But American Nightmares balances that with moments that have real emotional weight.
The Samaritan.
The Samaritan that and the first one I think about in terms of just one that really had me emotionally invested was Thy Will Be Done. That just really it just grabs you, and you just feel the helplessness and the rage of the woman in that story. Mm-hmm. And Tales from the Hood 2 and 3 didn't have that. Mm-mm.
There was no heartstring pulling or emotional manipulation that went along with like the horror of any of those tales in 2 and 3.
I think the one that had the potential to do that was Ruby Gates, but the family, they just failed to make you care.
Yeah, they made them so unnatural feeling.
Yeah, that's the whole problem. And they don't feel genuine.
I couldn't empathize with a family who had a son with cancer. Like, what does that say about your friggin' story?
Yeah.
When I did not care. I just wanted y'all's, whatever the wrap up was gonna be for y'all's story, just let's wrap it up now.
Yeah. And I think it came down to just being a combination of the acting and the writing, the dialogue. Mm-hmm. Really didn't offer much of anything
at all.
So yeah, that's why American Nightmares was clearly the clear contender for the second spot. Well, the clear choice for the second spot.
I agree with everything you just said. When I think about all of the tales in here, every tale ranks above anything that's in tales 2 or 3. Mm-hmm. And that's why it ended up at number 2. It's like when you think of tales 2 and 3, if you pull all of their tales together and make a list and rank them, you'd probably get some like mix in there where some 3 might come above a 2, you know, but American Nightmares, every tale in there is going to rank above the things in tales 2 and 3.
Yeah. Damn, yeah. I think I agree with that.
Yeah, like if we took all 8 tales from American Nightmares, the 5 tales in Wraparound from 2, the 4 tales in Wraparound from 2, and the 4 tales in Wraparound from 3, made them one big list and ranked them, all 8 of American Nightmares would be in the top 8. And then everything else would have come from tales 2 and 3.
You wouldn't rank any of the Tales from the Hood 2 or 3 stories over Mates?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd still keep Mates because it's entertaining.
I don't know if I could say that. I think I would probably rank one above
Mates. If I did rank anything above Mates, they'd probably be like neck and neck.
Okay.
Wouldn't be something that was just so drastically better than Mates.
Yeah. Since you do say Tales from the Hood 2 is more entertaining, and that's why it didn't merit being put in the fourth place spot,
mm-hmm.
Is you're entertained by it in what way? I mean, are you genuinely laughing at this movie? Are you genuinely enjoying what you're seeing? What are you entertained? Like, in what way are you entertained?
No, I'm not enjoying anything until...
So, how are you entertained?
Because it's just laughably bad. It's like you watching Freddy Got Fingered. It is a terrible movie, but you laugh at it. I can't laugh at it that much, but
it's a terrible movie. I genuinely laugh at certain parts of that movie.
Why?
So I'm not watching it.
Then it's not like for
I'm genuinely laughing.
Okay, then for me, I guess. Because I'm like, I can't.
Yeah.
Anybody who can look at that and laugh, I'm like, what? But for
I can't rewatch it as often as other comedy movies, but
no, for me, like it's not I'm not laughing because things are genuinely funny.
I'm baffled every time I watch.
That's the entertainment for me is like the confusion and the frustration. Like, that's the other thing. Okay.
Soon as the Emmett Till story starts, you're frustrated.
I am frustrated as hell, but that means I'm engaged.
Okay.
But it means I'm engaged.
You hate watching.
I hate watch it. and I'm engaged. I am baffled. I want to figure out like why they made this as the sequel. And it and I stay awake. Tales 3, I'm just bored.
I get it. I was just wondering.
There's nothing there to frustrate me. There's nothing there to really figure out. Like, I mean, it's there. But I'm like, why? This is just dry.
Okay. I was just curious. Yeah. Because I kind of have the same response to it. Because I think Tales from the Hood 3 is boring. I don't want to go out of my way all the time to watch Tales from the Hood 2. But
correct.
If you put them both in front of me and ask me which one I want to watch,
I'm picking 2.
I would pick 2 as well.
Exactly. And we have. I feel like we've done that before. Like, hey, let's just go ahead and watch it. We watched the Tales from the Hood. Let's watch Tales from the Hood 2. But we always reluctant to be like, we're going to watch 3 too? It's like, no, I don't need to.
Agreed.
Yeah. So that leaves the OG as number one, of course. Tales from the Hood. I feel like it just kind of speaks for itself. Especially for its time. What was it, 95? Mm-hmm. It came out in 95, and the tales are still horrific in 2024. They're still relevant and horrific in 2024.
Yeah.
And that speaks volumes to like how they took the social issues of the hood and made them horrific, but they picked the social issues that they knew were timeless.
I don't think they wanted them to be timeless.
But it was immortalized.
I don't know if I want to like frame it in that way.
Maybe not in that way, but they picked issues that like when people watch this decades from now, it'll still make sense to them. It wouldn't feel obsolete. It's like you watch it now and you still can identify what it was trying to say because you're not removed from whatever issues are tackled in that movie. You're not watching it like, man, I don't even know what that's like. Like, that shit is still prevalent. Versus, like, if we lived in a time where, like, say we actually got to world peace or some shit, and you're watching it, and you're like, man, what is police brutality? You know, like it's like shit that is, like, still so prevalent that you're like, that is still scary shit because it's still an everyday issue.
Yeah.
But it's, what, yeah, next year will be fucking 30 years, which is crazy. 30 years, and you can watch that story not make a change to anything in the story, and it still makes sense to you now. You still follow it and can see and get the commentary, be scared by it, feel uneasy, like it's still unsettling. Like, all of that, it's still there. Like, the issues, the way the issues are presented in the follow-up movies, I think are just going to get more laughable and boring as time goes on.
Yeah, I mean, there are stories in the sequels that are relevant, but...
But the way that they're delivered... It's
the way they're executed.
You watch them... I mean, if you're watching them now, only 6 years after, like, Tales from the Hood 2 came out, and it's already just more painful. Like, just imagine what looking at it 16 years from now is going to feel like.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Tales from the Hood endures for me just because it's a good movie.
It is so good.
Regardless of whether it was still relevant to today or not. Like, I wish it was not. But I think that has...
But I think that adds to the horror of it. because it's not.
It adds to the horror, but
it's like as an adult for me to still be uneasy about it.
I don't want to imply that the quality is determined by how relatable something is. No, because I don't want to relate to police brutality.
Right.
For years to come.
Right. No, that makes sense.
But it's it definitely deserves recognition for even thinking to tackle issues like that in a medium such as horror.
Right. Because I'm just thinking like all three, Tales from the Hood, all and including American Nightmares, like all four of the movies tackled racism in some way. Had a tale that was tackling racism.
Mm-hmm. Very directly.
Tales from the Hood 1 did the best job at tackling that through the lens of horror. Mm-hmm. American Nightmares did a good job addressing it, but because they did it in like a satirical fashion, mm-hmm. it took some of the horror out of it. And then Tales from the Hood 2 kind of tried to tackle it twice.
Yeah.
But both of them just kind of lost their way. And then Tales from the Hood 3 tackled it adjacently.
No, I feel like they did it pretty directly. I mean, that man was...
They did it from like... They did it...
It was very heightened, though.
I was like, there's a word I'm looking for where it's like they did it was...
It was so rooted in something more fantastical.
Right. There we go.
Yeah.
There we go. I was like, what is the word I'm looking for? Like, they did it in a way that was not, like, today's world-like or something, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
But Tales from the Hood, the original, the first one, tackles it, scares you with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it still was grounded.
Yeah.
It's
grounded because, again, the horror is in what's inspired by what happens in real life.
Right.
It's in the brutality. It's in the parental figure abusing a child.
Right. It's like it's not the supernatural pieces that are really those might be horrific too, but those aren't like the true grasping horror was in the non-supernatural stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was in like the issue itself. It's almost like the issue was like the villain or the horror of the story.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, it's like your villain or your horror, your monster of the story was the racism, the abuse, the historical racism, like that is like,
and to me that's its legacy,
right?
That's Tales from the Hood's legacy, is in choosing to depict horror in that way and using the typical horror tropes in a way that brought catharsis in the stories, and it was just different. And to see that not really be followed up on in the sequels was just very jarring.
Right. It's like you saw the issue kind of take a back seat to the horror.
Yeah.
Or whatever horror they tried to capture, especially in 2, because I mean the horror was like weak in most of those tales. Like the medium.
Yeah, it's weak because you can't. There's nothing that there's no real gravitas in anything, except for the sacrifice. All the other stories, it's just there's this goofy tonality in the entire thing that just there's nothing there to emotionally disturb you, and Tales from the Hood was emotionally trying to disturb you and shake you out of apathy. Like, this is shit we must fix now. Pay attention to this. This is disgusting. This is shit that happens in our communities all the time. And I feel like Tales from the Hood 2, and by extension 3 somewhat, even though there was an attempt to have some gravity injected in certain spots, but I think especially the case for Tales from the Hood 2, it's just not, it doesn't have this urgency to grab you. Mm-hmm. It's like, Tales from the Hood 2 almost feels like it doesn't care about the issues it's somewhat glancing at. Like, because Tales from the Hood 2 kind of glances at the thought of addressing certain things.
A little bit of it.
Yeah.
It's in there. You could say that.
Right.
It's the issue, but
it doesn't have the same urgency. Tales from the Hood is urgent.
Yes.
Every story is like, look at what I'm trying to show you.
Yes, like, hear me.
Stop this.
Do something about it.
Yeah.
Like, it scares you to want to act on addressing whatever the issue is.
Yeah.
And these other two, it's just like, you want me to laugh at the issue? Like, exactly. what do you want me to do with this?
That's all the problem. That's the main problem.
What do you
problem.
Want me to do with this gate rape or date rape or whatever? Like, this, you, what do you want me to do about racism, the history of racism for my people? It's like, you want me to die, apparently, if you look at the sacrifice. That's how we're going to address racism. We just got to lay down and die, apparently. So, like, what? Yeah, like, it is not action-oriented.
No, not at all. And that's what was so egregious about that story to me. Granted, you know, when I think about it, I'm like, okay, this story is in a horror anthology. So, it's not... I'm not anticipating for it to have this grand end where the main protagonist gets what they want. Although, you go back to Tales from the Hood, there was one story that kind of ended in a favorable resolution for the main protagonist, which was the... Boys Do Get Bruised story.
Yeah, I was going to say Monster.
I'm
so used to calling it Monster.
Yeah, that's the only story where there's somewhat of a positive resolution.
Right.
And I just thought for Tales from the Hood 2, they had an opening to do that with the sacrifice.
Oh.
And I felt like it would have been appropriate.
It would have been appropriate for him to have a chance to go change the course of the present and future. Being influenced by the sacrifices of the past.
It's like, if you want to kill Henry in that story, find another way to do it. Don't build him up.
And ask him to make a different choice.
It's ridiculous.
Make it sound like he has a choice to make. And then say, no, your choice is you got to die.
That was... I do not understand it.
It is infuriating.
Rusty, I mean, I'm a nobody, but if our podcast happens to blow up and you
catch this at some point in time.
Yeah, please, man. Like, I just want to have the discussion.
Us what you were thinking.
What was that? Because
tell us, because maybe we just watching it all wrong.
Evidently, you are very proud of
You stand by this story.
And are we looking at sacrifice wrong? Because I know that you can look at sacrifice in the context of certain things being blood sacrifices for the gods or whatever. Are you looking at it in that way? Even then, I'm just like, that's still kind of insulting. I think somebody would still consider it somewhat insulting, but like, What is this? What is this story? And what is your intent behind it? Because I think there's something very, very ugly in the way you chose to conclude that story.
I I think there's something very ugly in the way you chose to make Emmett Till's death a sacrifice.
Yeah. Either way you look at it, I just think the message is muddled, and I feel like maybe it's your cynicism coming through, because are you communicating that there's just no hope for people to change anything?
And so maybe we should just lay down and die and escape it all? Like,
But then it's like you end it on this grand note where his wife appears to be looking at him
proud,
and just there's this look of content on everybody's face there when he lays down and dies. It's like instant
peace when he lays down and dies.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is the complete opposite of what that situation and sacrifice should have done for their life.
Yeah. So, yeah, Tales from the Hood, the first one, is number one because we don't have to be angry at shit like that.
There we go. Because we don't have to be angry at shit like that. We don't
have to be mad. The sequels make me mad.
The sequels make me mad because they have Tales from the Hood on. American Nightmares does not. Like, I would be totally game for another set of American Nightmares.
You know what, though? I think a big difference is Tales from the Hood 2 seems to fail just because of bad choices. Mm-hmm. I just think there was some bad thinking going into the making of that and the writing of that. Tales from the Hood 3, I can sense they're trying to course correct.
It felt a little more thoughtful.
But it fails because of incompetence to me. I feel like it's more incompetence that contributes to the failures of Tales from the Hood 3.
Incompetence in what sense? Because, I mean, the stories were more headed in the right direction than 2.
They are, but you the horrible acting in Ruby Gates that does not allow you to connect to that family in any way. And the poor dialogue written for them. The bunker just drags. It's you should have sensed in the bunker just a steady escalation of the absurdity of his racism. But they start him on 10, and he just stays
there
crazy at 10 the entire time.
Until he
you're not seeing a steady development in that story.
Right.
And yeah, I just think it was incompetence on some level all around, except for dope kicks.
Dope kicks.
Yeah, except
gold
for
shoes.
Except for that one. And even that one had, you know, some other issues I guess I can nitpick. But generally, I mean, I will leave it alone. I think there was just a huge level of incompetence laced in everything else.
Yep.
In Tales from the Hood 3, whereas Tales from the Hood 2, I think it fails for other reasons, is because I think going into it, I think it was just an awful approach.
Yeah, like you come into it as a Tales from the Hood 2 with the expectation of this is going to be as at least equally as horrific but relevant as Tales from the Hood was for us, and you get this bright ass, goofy ass movie. Yeah. It's like, why'd you even slap that title on it? And you slap it on a movie that came out 3 months after American Nightmares, which was a more serviceable horror anthology from them.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember seeing that first promo image for Tales from the Hood 2 and just being so hype.
With the doll.
I was sharing the picture with everybody. Mm-hmm. And I remember turning this shit on for the first time. And immediately the opening with the dancing skeletons was already
like, oh.
Okay.
And the music.
I'm like, let me breathe.
Sounded like circus music to me.
I'm like, let me breathe. Let me calm down. This is like some straight to streaming video shit. So it's like, you know, there might have had to have been some concessions made. Mm-hmm. So I'm still just kind of riding. But when they eventually cut to Mr. Sims and Dumas Beach,
and they cut to the sign Dumas Beach.
I immediately thought we're doing this. Oh no. And then golly was
and the, then it was so was bright. Yeah. It was almost like exposure was over it when it first goes to like the Dumas Beach setting.
Yeah.
I was like, why does it feel like overexposed?
Yeah. I think I'm trying to remember the exact moment where I was like, this has no hope of being better than the first one. I think it was the medium. I think as soon as the medium started, especially coming off of Good Golly, and we just saw these goofy motherfuckers interrogating this dude, and just the look of it, I knew it was a wrap.
I knew it was a wrap when I saw Dumas Beach. So
yeah.
And then this, the way they had Keith David acting, I called this one Good Golly. And I was like, why is he so goofy about it?
Yeah, it didn't set a sinister vibe at all.
Right, like, and he's supposed to have this like eeriness to him. Especially if he's keeping the name Mr. Sims.
And that's the thing that was so dope about Tales from the Hood, the first one, because it was so effortless in the way it executed what it was doing, because you have all of them show up to the mortuary, and as soon as Mr. Sims opens the door, you got Joe Torre
ready to run and knocks himself out on the damn porch.
And right... With all of that, just seconds, Mr. Sims comes across as creepy as fuck, and you have a moment of genuine comedy, and it just all flows together without anything feeling off.
Right.
So, it's like Tales from the Hood 2 was just, it just goes too far in just this goofy ass direction, and there's no balance. Mm-mm.
It's all just goof.
That's the other thing. It's so jarring to just be immersed in this robo-patriot chick, and then those first three stories, and then the jump to a real historical reference in your last tale. Oh. It's like you spent all this time just being so goofy.
And then let's bring in Emmett Till? Like,
that's crazy.
Oh my gosh. And we didn't even realize that's what was happening when that tale first starts. Yeah. We did not see it come. We thought it was just going to be a tale of, like, you know, this black campaign manager supporting, you know, this Colonel Sanders-esque politician. And, like, that in itself was going to be the horror tale. But then you pull in Emmett Till? Like, how did you even make that stretch?
That was a leap. That was such a leap. Yeah.
Like, he already had the white wife. He's in the South. He lives in that plantation home. There was plenty there.
There was enough
for you
there
to not for, have to bring in.
Yeah,
tell him
you
that
could
story.
Have based your whole tale in just that. Yeah. There was more than enough to work with there. Yeah.
But no, Emmett Till had to make a sacrifice and tie it to his pregnant wife. That's the other piece that killed me. It's like, why does her pregnancy have to be tied to Emmett Till's death?
Why is her stomach shrinking? Yeah.
Yeah. But I still will watch that movie before 3, so there's that.
But I know why you would say that. I understand why you would say that. But yeah, this I mean, number one. Tales from the Hood.
Number one is the it's the only one. If you don't watch any other Rusty horror, Rusty and Darren horror anthologies, Tales from the Hood is mandatory viewing. And American Nightmares comes in as a close second.
Yeah. So watch those two.
The other two, take it or leave it.
Yeah, if you...
You got time, watch them. You don't, you ain't missing much.
If you're a fan of seeing, like, accidents on the road, Tales from the Hood 2 is good.
What? So if you're a rubbernecker,
yeah,
then go watch Tales from the Hood 2.
I say watch Tales from the Hood 2. And it might entertain you.
That's hilarious. Okay, so there you go. Watch Tales from the Hood and American Nightmares. And if you have nothing else better to do with your time, then you can watch Tales from the Hood 2 and Tales from the Hood 3. But yeah, that's only if you know there's just nothing else for you to do.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
Sounds good to me too. So
that's what we'll do for the, you know, foreseeable future with our rewatches.
So yeah, that was my predictable as ranking. And let us know if any of you agree. I don't know who out there has seen all four of these.
All four of these. If you even knew that, you know, two and or three even existed, or that there was an American Nightmares. Like, I feel like...
American Nightmares is very poorly promoted.
It is. Especially, and it's available on streaming platforms.
I can't even remember how I found out about it.
I don't remember how you did either. I'm glad you did, yeah. But... I mean, it's on streaming platforms now. That's how we were able to watch it.
Yeah.
Because we haven't bought anything. The only one we own is Tales from the Hood. But yeah, so that's that wraps up our Rusty Darren week. Kind of sad about it.
Yeah, that was went by kind of quick, but I'm kind of glad we did it. I'm glad you had the idea to rank the individual tales in each of the movies, because it just kind of forced me to look at them a little more, a little more deeply.
Yeah, to really evaluate, analyze, like, what the stories are saying and how they're connected. And yeah, I thought that was just a really great framing device for the conversations.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was our ranking of all
the Rusty Darren horrors. Maybe now we go back. We've got some other Rusty movies in mind, I think, that we want to talk about, but in different themes. We're done with his horror movies, of course, but he's got other comedies that we will strategize and converse about for you all.
Yeah.
But for now, that's what we got.
That's what we have. So we will bring this episode to a close. I hope you found it entertaining. This has been Aura
and Lady Rain.
Be good to each other. Be good to yourself.